Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for January the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is Hour 2 of 2, and the goal always, ladies and gentlemen, is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, to restore the republic in the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a democracy. We don't have a democratic republic. We have a constitutional republic. That means checks and balances and God's law at the center of our wonderful, great country. We're losing it, folks. That's the reality check. We can get it back, but there's only one way. That's pure application of the principles that made it great in the first place. Couldn't do it again. Anything else will not work, ladies and gentlemen. Winter storm slams East Coast. Leaves Summersing about a million without power now. Winter storm impacts East Coast. Thousands of people suffering. Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia issue all kinds of states of emergencies. They say that winter storm pushes north after bringing snow to the south, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to really just say one thing about this before we move on. Empty shelves and about a million without power. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. And you kind of say, well, what's all that, Sam? Look, I get the reality check on this, ladies and gentlemen. When we disobey God's laws, you're going to have all kinds of gnarly natural disasters to stir people up in remembrance of their God. It's a love offering by God Almighty to say, hey, it can get a lot worse, folks, if you don't obey. Reminder, reminder, turn to me. Remember, remember. Dr. Bradley, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Here on Monday morning, your bumper music and your enthusiastic introduction to everything and every bit of the day. We often talk about some challenging things, but we hope we bring some ideas that might help or turn our hearts in the right direction. You know, it's interesting, you talk about the empty shelves and some of the natural disasters, you know, the tsunamis and the volcanoes and all that kind of stuff in the South Pacific. But you know, it's interesting, I don't know, I've been watching these shelves being emptied, and I've said so often as I go through, they're preparing us for a Soviet-style economy. And this great reset thing is all tied into it. It's like they're taking full advantage of everything to tighten the screws everywhere they turn and just make humanity more miserable and more like, you know, the Soviet-style economy it was. You know, I wish there were time to tell you some stories about one of my good friends, but I haven't seen him for a few years, and he's probably passed away, because he'd be 100 years old this year. But he escaped from Germany when they started to, you know, tighten the screws and not let people out of East Germany and East Berlin and everything like that. He and his wife, and they had a child in a baby buggy. They couldn't take their clothing or anything other than what they could layer their clothes on as they came across the border. No suitcases, that would have given them away. Anyway, he told me about, he kept in touch when the opportunity became available with a friend of his that he had grown up as a childhood friend. And he'd say to him, you know, because my friend was here in the United States, he was a tool and die guy, and they make pretty good money. Anyway, he'd write to his friend, he'd say, is there anything I can send you? Is there anything you need? And the friend went, well, no, not really. But if you do have a little bag of nails, that would be nice. They didn't even have nails. But anyway, when the wall supposedly came down and all that kind of stuff happened, he brought his friend and his friend's wife over. And here they were, you know, in their twilight years, if you will. And my friend was really into big cars, big American cars. I mean, my goodness, Cadillacs and Continentals and everything. Anyway, his friend that came from East Germany says, whoa, how long did you have to wait to get a car? He's like, You want to go buy one today? We can go buy one today. Oh, no, that's not true. So he took him down in Salt Lake City on South State. There's about a bazillion big car malls, if you will. Went down there, and he says, the guy says, no, these are just for show. He says, no, we'll go in a showroom, and the vultures will descend on you and try and start selling you a car. Anyway, they had that experience, and what these Germans had experienced was shortage, and everything was in tight supply. Anyway, so at one point, they took his wife, my friend and his wife took his friend and his wife into a supermarket. And as the woman walked in the store for the first time, she stood in the entryway and just started to sob. And she stood there sobbing, saying, they lied to us. They lied to us. They said you were starving, and capitalism and the free market are failures, and we are so lucky to have the Soviet style. But all they had known since World War II had been shortage. And you know, our empty shelves are kind of a reflection of that. And I just have to sometimes say to people, holy cow, do you know where we're going? Do you know what we're giving up? So that we can have this new socialist viewpoint. And most people have never even conceived of the idea you couldn't go to the store and buy whatever your heart desired any time. But that's what the reality has been under the communistic regime. I don't care what they call it, democratic socialism or just, you know, some kind of, I don't know, light communism. It's all poison.
Yeah, they want you to believe somehow that there's different flavors of communism or different flavors of socialism. Some are bad, like the Nazis, but some are just fantastic. But it's all a big old lie, as Dr. Indeed. Bradley mentioned. And another huge lie is this Martin Luther King Day. It's a federal holiday, ladies and gentlemen, held on the third Monday of January. It celebrates the supposed or so-called achievements of Martin Luther King Jr. But you know what? Michael's his real name. You're lied to about this guy forever. Okay, we say that he was an influential American civil rights leader. They acted like he was a Christian, a reverend. Shame on MLK Day. Evidence of King's communism, speaking of communism, and his communist connections, along with his adultery, ladies and gentlemen, clearly contradict his stance as a minister and his, quote, preaching virtue in public life, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't teach of God. That's a lie. And really, the good news is more and more information about Martin Luther King is coming out. People are starting to learn the truth about him. But we celebrate this day and celebrate the communism that he helped bring to America. Dr. Bradley.
You know, this day is a real enigma to me on so many levels. You know, we have people like George Washington, who we used to commemorate his birth on a, you know, annual basis when George, you know, there was a George Washington, you know, Washington Day. And, you know, if you say, well, we still got a President's Day, you know, it's kind of like, okay, so we put Bill Clinton and George Bush and you know, all the likes of all these other lessers that and lump them in with the George Washington.
I'm sure grateful you're all going to think of me.
I don't know. Is he in your studio, Sam? I don't know. Anyway.
I'm just so grateful you guys are thinking of me. I knew I'd make a place in history.
He does have a place in history, and his dalliance, his licentious amours, his giving away of the U.S. defense secrets, his selling of the White House. I mean, go on.
No different than Martin Luther King, though, really, by the way. Just they had their own kind of circumstantial flavors, but hey, kind of same deal. It's really important to understand, too, that now they've discovered that Jeffrey Epstein repeatedly visited the Clinton White House. He brought numerous women with him. Ryan Saavedra and the Daily Mail brought this to my attention. And unearthed visitor logs from the White House showed that Epstein visited the White House 17 times during Clinton's first term in office alone. So, see, we're seeing the truth come out, but no one's going to do anything about it.
Now, here's the thing, though, Sam. You said he visited alone. That means that in the first term, he came that many times. We don't know how many came in the second term. But
that's right.
As you inferred, he was not alone many of the times in terms of his accompaniment.
I never liked to be
I don't
alone.
Know how many young girls he brought in, you know. But no, this Martin Luther King thing is a real enigma. And you know, you bring up the adultery. I mean, I've heard people say as high as in his last week before his assassination, he had been with seven different women. I mean, but the fact of the matter is, he did say, you know, he looked forward to the day that his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but their character. And the race baiters of the day, I think, are discounting that completely. They've made race the sole judgment factor. They have, they're basically, if you're white, you're a racist. This woke crowd wants to basically discount anything unless it has a black color on it. I mean, the commercials that are coming out, the TV programs, everything else like that, the media, everybody is responding to this wokeness. But I'll just give you an example of what happened when Martin Luther King Day was first brought forward at the university where I was an administrator. They said, oh, we're gonna alternate, you know, giving, you know, they would have a holiday on Martin Luther King Day or on the President's Day. 10 straight years they went Martin Luther King Day. They thought nobody was watching. So it's interesting how they've completely biased it that way. And then plus Black History Month. They would
Lies Exposed on Liberty Roundtable Live continues.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Hey, Dr. Bradley, I just want you to know that my wife's engineering a comeback. Yes, she is. She's going to come back in 24. Many people are predicting a Donald Trump-Hillary Clinton rematch. This time we're going to have honesty in the elections. We're going to get her done. I'm telling you right now, Hillary's coming back, and she's going to be running in 24. Doctor?
Well, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel again, and that's what's really astounding to me is the Democratic Party is basically on life support, it seems to me. They've got the new young Turks, if you will, that are coming up that are, they don't even try to hide the idea that they have fully embraced the socialist perspectives and their influence on Biden, because I don't know as he really has an opinion of his own anymore because of his declining mental cognitive state, but But the point of the matter is that they know they can't run a lot of these people. I mean, you look at Kamala. When she was in the crowded bevy of beauties that were running for the presidency, and they had their debates, I mean, I don't know if she ever got into the single digits. It was probably below a single digit in terms of her popularity, even among the Democrats. And they put this old workhorse, Joe Biden, that everybody knew and thought, oh, yeah, he's a Democrat. He's been a Democrat all his life. They put him in even despite the fact that nobody liked him. Nobody wanted him. And he couldn't campaign. He didn't have any cognitive ability to even carry on a full conversation. And then they put Kamala in there because they needed to play the race card and the gender card. And so they're on life support. And if so they try and bring back Hillary because of her supposed popularity. I mean, my gracious, you talk about tempting fate again with cognitive disability. It is absolutely astounding where they think they're going to take this again. They don't have anybody to run. I mean, they'll claim they do, but reality would say, I don't think that's a very wise choice either. So yeah, we've, but I just am sick to death of the politics of the time. I mean,
but you know what though, if we put up a Trump and they put up a Hillary and they commit vote fraud again, Hillary will win.
Well, that's the problem, and as you well know, they're pressing forward with their new voter law that basically will canonize, if you will, the conditions that brought about the 2020 election, with the opportunity for theft and corruption and election fraud. I mean, and we've talked about this a little before, but the founding fathers intended for the states to run all the elections, and there was a slight opportunity that was, I mean, it's not slight, it was a real, it was very real, it's in the Constitution, but their inference that the feds could be involved in the elections, if you look at Article 1, Section 4, it gives the general government the opportunity to intervene, and that was because there was a very strong probability, not just possibility, but probability in the beginning days of the Republic that there may be states that say, you know what, we're not so interested in sending somebody to represent in the you know, general headquarters. We're not so sold on this idea. So that there was an opportunity for the general government to say, no, you've got to have an election and send us a congressman, okay? But everything that has happened all along the line, you know, the 1965 Voters Act and all of the amendments that have happened have been an intervention of the general government in the election process. And what they're trying to do is re-implement the 1965 Voter Act on steroids, and they'll include all of the things like, automated voting process, the vote gathering places, the fact that everybody gets to do it by mail and somebody can aggregate those, and it's just a disaster. And that's what they're ready to vote on, and they're going to do it, I think, maybe tomorrow. There's some talk about it being tomorrow, but at any rate, that's where they're going with this.
If they put that in place and my wife runs in 24, I'll be excited to be the first man. And I'm telling you right now, I'll invite all the Senate wives to a dinner. I'll host it. It'll be phenomenal. It'll just be incredible. It'll be the first time in history.
Well, there's a man that has had credible accusations of rape put against him that sat in that office. We have a trail.
Yeah, but Hillary says the Me Too movement doesn't apply because all them women were adults.
Well, oh, that's okay. So fine. here's the deal. We have a train of lessers that have sat in that office, and it's very, very disheartening to me to think that some of the great noble statesmen that once sat in that office, now we're just, it's a conglomerate. You know, we're coming back a little bit to the Martin Luther King Day, I guess, but, you know, the President's Day that almost nobody recognizes, the big celebration is on Martin Luther King Day, but it's an enigma because, there's so many inconsistencies in that icon that they've put up. And even those that are very much race baiters are having to discount his statements about my kids will be judged not by the color of their skin, but their character. It's like, what the heck is going on? This country doesn't even have a mind anymore, it seems.
Well,
like.
Well, the problem is we need to double down if they're going to talk about character and talk about the true character of a Martin Luther King, his dishonesty, his communist ties and funding, his communist connections, his involvement with communist leaders in the Communist USA Party, his literal perverted sexual behavior that was out of line with everything that he said. You know, he would basically preach peace, supposedly, but yet he'd then create violence in his wake over and over and over and over. But, you know, it's interesting. The Democrats, it seems like that makes sense why they would double down in defense of a shameful character like that. But you know what? We can understand the Democratic Party may be honoring King. They love Ocasio-Cortez and Biden and Clinton and Bernie Sanders and all these whacked out hippie crazies. But you know what? The Republican Party. Why are conservatives and Republicans doubling down in defense of Martin Luther King? And why are taxpayers forced to pay homage to this guy? That's well, what shocks me a little bit, Doctor.
Well, it does indeed. And here's there's just this worshiping at the altar of trying to be accepting of the color of the skin. And it's like, you know, you look at Kwanzaa, for example. It's a phony created in the 1960s commemoration of something that was never out of Africa. It was created by a guy that there was a convicted criminal, a guy that was into torture, that was a competitor, if you will, with the Black Panthers. And it's created on a kind of a collectivist viewpoint. And people are falling all over themselves to make it, you know, this, oh, wow, we're so accepting of this. No, look at the origins of this stuff, people, and there's this glossing that happens, this buffing and polishing, and this twisting and this spinning of the narrative, and we look at this and say, wow, where did this come from in America? We jettison people like George Washington, and are supposedly commemorating a Bill Clinton along on that President's Day when it is recognized, which is very rare anymore. As I said, at the university that I spent so many years at, they had 10 straight years of recognizing the holiday of Martin Luther King when they told us up front they were going to alternate between presidents and MLK, and they never did. They never did. The Utah legislature, for example, changed its start date from what was constitutionally required to the day after Martin Luther King Day, so that they could have everybody commemorating that. Now, of course, for several years before they did that, they had a big MLK on the floor of the legislature commemoration, and it's like, good heavens. Now, I don't begrudge people feeling good about their music and their culture and everything like that, but to make this a centerpiece of our worship, it's kind of an interesting spin to me that I find kind of an enigma, like I said, when we started this conversation.
Well, so I wonder why the Republicans and the conservatives are doubling down in defense of this, ladies and gentlemen. That's really a serious, serious question. But you know what? The man of the myth persists. And really what you've got is you've got the government-driven media, CIA-owned driven media, is really the deal. So you got to ask the question, is the government engaging in psychological warfare? Okay? WorldNet Daily and others are writing articles about this point. But look, psychological warfare, ladies and gentlemen, is the use of propaganda, threats, and other psychological techniques to mislead, intimidate, demoralize, and otherwise influence the thinking or behavior of an opponent. Is that terrorism? Is your government in bed with the media and engaged in terrorism? We'll talk about that coming up with Dr. Bradley in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Tsunami waves rolled ashore Saturday along the west coast of the United States after the powerful eruption of an undersea volcano near the Tonga Islands in the Pacific Ocean. Meteorologists reported 1 to 3 foot waves generating minor flooding. Some Alaska residents reported hearing a sonic boom roughly 7 hours after the volcano erupted. A pressure wave traveled 5,820 miles from Tonga to Anchorage at a speed of 830 miles an hour. Born on this day in 1929, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is also known as Days of Service. MLK Day of Service is intended to empower individuals, strengthen communities, bridge barriers, create solutions to social problems, and move us closer to Dr. King's vision of a beloved community.
Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside.
USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Mike Lindell, the veteran CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Buy One, Get One Free Special on Giza Dream Sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Call 1-800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Use my promo code USA.
Tornadoes spawned by a powerful winter storm moving across the South destroyed and damaged dozens of homes in the Fort Myers, Florida area overnight. One of these tornadoes, an EF2, destroyed 28 homes and damaged 62 so severely that they were unlivable, the Lee County government said in a press conference. Up to 200 people were forced out of their homes due to the damage. Winter storm warnings and winter weather advisories have been announced across much of the Northeast for today. Charles McGee, a Tuskegee airman who flew 409 fighter combat missions over three wars and later helped bring attention to black pilots who battled racism at home to fight for freedom abroad, died Sunday. He was 102.
Tuskegee airmen are black pilots, mechanics, and support people who, when our country declared war against Hitler, came forward and dispel the biases and generalizations that because of the color of our skin, we couldn't support our country in a technical area.
USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Dr. Scott Bradley is live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. His lifelong goal to preserve the nation, thus his collegiate series on the topic, available at Freedoms. RisingSun.com, ladies and gentlemen. That's Freedoms. RisingSun.com, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the real question is this. Is the government, or I should say, are the government and the media engaging in psychological warfare, really a terrorist act against the people? I say they are, Dr. Bradley.
Well, what they're doing is literally they're spinning an agenda. It's more than a narrative. It is a script about the belief systems that they want us to have. And it honestly happens in the public education. It's a tragic situation where, I think back when I was a child, we got a little rag, I guess I'll call it. It was a little folder on cheap newspaper type paper. Every week it was called the Weekly Reader. And it was a propaganda organ for the United Nations, largely. Oh, there were little fluffy stories in there about the hope someday of flying cars or whatever. But literally, it was to promote the agenda of the United Nations. And I remember getting that every week in class. I mean, it was very nominally priced. And if you didn't, your family didn't pay the 35 cents a year or whatever it was to get it, you were left out when the class reviewed it. We have had these propagandizations going on in this country for so long now. Our last great hope, whether it's the United Nations or some political philosophy of this day or some spin of agendas, it is just astonishing to me. Americans just need to learn how to connect the dots and be able to reject the phenomenon that's being promoted constantly and say, wait. The real truth on this thing is this. But there are so few that are promoting the truth. I mean, you know, your radio program, I know, attempts to bring things up that the most of the media is completely ignored. But good grief. If it wasn't said by Walter Cronkite or Dan Blather or Peter Jennings or whoever over the years, most Americans have considered it to not be part of what the truth is. And so, yeah, you're right. The mainstream media and the government are collaborating, and you brought up earlier in the program the involvement of CIA in these situations. So it is a propaganda arm. And by the way, I look at all over the world for my news sources, and I find that other countries very often have a more free press than the United States has. But in addition to that, you have situations where the media in the States here, it isn't just the CIA that's promoting this. You look at the funding sources for so many of the stations, and they're big pharma. So you say, oh, yeah, there it is again, the CIA or whatever, the big pharma that's promoting their agenda. You follow the money. Follow where it came from. And you say, oh, I understand this. So much of the medical industry, the medical schools get funding from big pharma. And so you wonder why the physicians oftentimes become a pill pusher. They have their big pharma digests, and they flip them open, and they say, here's what we're promoting for you today. And, you know, if you've listened to any of the commercials, you find there's big risk in taking a lot of these things. And it's since, I don't know, I'm all over the place on this, but think about this. All of the big recalls that happen, the FDA recalls, Food and Drug Administration, oh my goodness, this is bad stuff, it's going to kill you or whatever. All of them were FDA approved. All of those things came through the FDA approval process, and then later on they find, oh my goodness, the long-term bad side effects, or even some of the short-term ones. So we need to follow the money, and we need to go back to the baseline understanding of correct principles and quit following the train of falsehoods that is being promoted across the nation today. It's just astounding to me. Anyway,
ladies and gentlemen, shame on MLK Day, I can tell you that. And I will tell you that the propaganda peddled by the mainstream press in bed with the government is astounding. The government and the media are engaging in psychological warfare, ladies and gentlemen. And they're doing so primarily through COVID, through climate change. The list goes on and on and on. But I want to put things in perspective for you about death. Okay, they want you to believe that they're there to preserve life, that by golly, they care about us. That's why we got to have the FDA. We got to have the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, or the WHO, the World Health Organization, or all these criminal enterprises. Why we got to have them? Because they're all for life. But that's if you ever get to make it to life, ladies and gentlemen. The psychological warfare continues as they manipulate this reality. Forget COVID, ladies and gentlemen. The leading cause of death worldwide, once again, is the, quote, legalized killing of the most vulnerable among us. Bob Unruh, WND.com, doing a great job reporting on this. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The leading cause of death worldwide for 2021 is the murdering of babies, abortion, responsible for 42% of all worldwide deaths. Now, let me put this in perspective, and then we'll have Dr. Bradley rock and roll on this great evil. Decision Magazine explained that the total of all deaths worldwide from all causes was 58 million, okay? 58.7 million. By the numbers, there were 42.6 million deaths by abortion during 2021. That makes 3 years in a row that the leading cause of death worldwide is abortion, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that for a minute. So forget COVID big time, right? That makes 3 years in a row. Now, 42.6 million abortions were performed during 2021 worldwide. By comparison, only 13 million people died from communicable diseases, 8 million from cancer, 5 million from smoking, 2.5 million from alcohol, and 1.7 million from HIV/AIDS. Also, there were 393,000 from malaria, 1 million suicides, and 1.3 million deaths related to roadside or road fatalities. Deaths from the coronavirus worldwide were around 3.5 million globally, according to the WTO. You put that all in perspective, doctor, and you say, wow, the biggest cause of death by far, nothing even close, the murder of the most innocent among us. Oh, heaven help us, doctor.
Well, your statement is something we should all think about. How can heaven smile upon people that are, in a very real sense, eating their young? I mean, that most of the abortions that are performed are done for convenience, to avoid embarrassment. It's not the right time to have a baby or whatever. Don't engage in the activities that allow you to bring a baby into the world, if in fact those are the push points. But oh no, we can't control our emotions or anything. If it feels good, do it. You know, I remember the 60s, you know, the way that tune in, turn on, drop out kind of thing from the Timothy Learys. We have lost our moral standard. And I oftentimes compare, you know, the great abomination that happened in ancient Israel when sacrifices were made to the god Moloch, where they would bring their infants. You know, Moloch was a big statue that had a iron construction, and they'd build a big fire in it. Its arms would be glowing red hot, and you place the infant in the arms of this, pagan god to sacrifice it to that pagan god. And you say, how far different are we today? We do them in a sanitized, you know, medical procedure that's done in the, in a private office or something. But how different is it? We're sacrificing the most vulnerable, the most innocent, and those that have no voice whatsoever. And what have we become as a people? And you say, heaven help us. How can heaven smile upon a nation like that or a world? And I think that, well, it's like George Mason said during the Constitution Convention of 1787, because nations do not exist in the eternities, they must have their rewards or punishments in this world. I mean, they only exist in this mortal world, and a world, and of course our nation. Right now, we financially support Planned Parenthood with taxpayer dollars. You know, and Trump signed a bill that gave $500 million to them. What an astonishing thing that Planned Parenthood kills 250,000 babies every year. And they say, oh, well, that money doesn't go to that. But it frees up money to go to abortion. Holy cow. What are we doing?
The lies continue, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley with me. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is hard to even fathom. Forget COVID, ladies and gentlemen. Leading cause of death worldwide for the third year in a row is abortion. We literally killed 42.6 million babies, the most innocent among us, literally globally in 21. It is insanity. Yet we've had, what, 3.5 million due to the COVID. But that's only if you even believe their numbers on the COVID. That's probably a big old lie as well. But when you look at smoking and alcohol together, it's about 7.5 million, double COVID, doctor. But the government loves the sale of tobacco and alcohol because they get all kinds of tax dollars from it. But if we've literally got 2.5 million from alcohol and about 5 million from smoking worldwide, why wouldn't we be working on that as opposed to COVID when COVID's half? And we know that eventually COVID will change from a pandemic to, what do they call it, an endemic kind of a situation, like the 1918 flu was and did, and et cetera. Alcohol and tobacco, though, as it currently stands, never going away. Now, I'm not saying government should be involved there. I'm just making a point of the contrast, right?
Well, our focus is like the magician with a flourish of one hand. You look at that hand, and they're pulling some other stunt behind it. And this COVID thing truly is, first of all, the numbers are falsehoods. People didn't die from COVID. They died with it, perhaps. I mean, that's like saying, well, this guy got hurt in a car accident, and, oh, by the way, he tested positive. Oh, put it down as a COVID death, you know. No, the whole thing is agenda-driven. And by the way, and this is, I don't want to take too much of a side trip with this, but I believe it's still the largest newspaper in the state of Utah. Their editorial board has come out and admonished the governor to activate the National Guard to prevent unvaccinated people from going anywhere, their word, anywhere. So what are we going to have is a rotating shift on your front door of, you know, this is going back again to the troops quartered among us that we talk about in the Bill of Rights. And the editorial board of the largest newspaper in Utah has now said we need to activate the National Guard to prevent unvaccinated people from going anywhere. Can you imagine? Does that tip your hand as to where this tyranny is going, this reset, this Soviet economy, this controlled socialistic welfare state? I mean, come on, people. They should be laughed out of town. And no, it's not even laughable. It's a tragic travesty where some of these voices are trying to take us. It's a contrived from the very beginning. Before there was one single solitary death in Utah, the governor declared a state of emergency, and it was to take federal funds. But this whole thing, follow the money, as I say so often. And the agenda that's being carried out with this is appalling. And we're forgetting the most innocent, those that are the most vulnerable, and have no voice as we allow that travesty of death to continue. And guys like Chief Justice John Roberts says, oh, it's settled law. We get to kill our babies before they're born.
Yep, and so it's such a target-rich environment, ladies and gentlemen. It's hard for me to know what to focus on. I have this headline that I want to talk about. The problem is there's just too many things to discuss. You'll look at the show notes today, and, man, they're full of information that's just like, wow. But the Salt Lake Tribune editorial board published an op-ed or an editorial on Saturday that called on the Utah governor to use the National Guard to prevent unvaccinated citizens from going anywhere. Okay, think how tyrannical that is. Now, that's bad, and I'm against that. But, I mean, you look at kind of trying to figure out how to put that in perspective. Do you report on that? Or do you talk about these storms that are literally creating empty shells and mayhem without power? Do you talk about Martin Luther King and the fraud related to this guy? Do you talk about Epstein visiting the White House and Bill still running around free? Will Hillary win in 2024? You can laugh at that and go, that's just goofy. You know what? They put old Joe Biden in there who can't even think for himself, can barely talk with literally no supporters when he would have events. And he got elected with Kamala Harris, who had no supporters either. And now we're going, hey, Hillary lost. She's got a bad taste in her mouth. Now, is it the engineered comeback? They say 60 Minutes engineered Bill into office regardless of his scandals in the first place. Can the CIA-driven media do it again? And then you say, are the government, the media engaging in psychological warfare? And then you say, forget COVID. The leading cause of death worldwide is abortion for the third year in a row. We've literally killed 42.6 million babies in 21 alone. But yet we're going to worry about the 3,500,000 numbers of COVID. That's even if you accept their numbers, which we claim is bogus. Do you report on that? You know, what do you focus on? There's so much news, Dr. Bradley. And I submit to you, they're trying to use a communist tactic to overwhelm us with it all.
Well, that is a communist tactic. It has been from the beginning. It's conflict-based. It's pitting one view against another, race against race, religion against religion, men against women, labor against management. I mean, if they can cause a turmoil, they can disrupt society to the point that the basis of society is reshaped, and their intention is to replace it with their view of this tyranny. And it's happened. It's a successful formula. It happens time and time and time and time again. I mean, you look forward from the French Revolution forward, which was communist in its origins, and they weren't called the communists then. And the League of Just Men that came forward, and the Manifesto, and the revolutions of 1848, and, you know, the Franco-Prussian outcome in Paris, and the Bolshevik Revolution, and you look at what Mao has done, and Pol Pot, and I mean, it's just this very successful approach, and it's like, why don't we learn? Why don't we recognize these things and set them aside? But you have politicians out there that play the angles, the turmoil, the conflict, and they hope to ride to success on that or maintain their current position based upon the oanted awfuls that they want to bring up. Let's go back to basics. Let's go back to principle. Let's go back to the eternal truths that this nation was founded on, and let's jettison the people that are basically pandering to the communist approach of turmoil and conflict that will ultimately replace our type of society. And we're the last great hope for the world.
I couldn't agree more, but you know what? From the lies of Martin Luther King to the lies of the COVID deaths, to the lies about abortion being a woman's choice to do what she wants, to the lies of COVID, literally what you've got is the government in bed with a CIA-owned press. And they're literally manipulating the public to the point where I don't know that we can recover. We can't be saved faster than we have knowledge. And people lack the knowledge to save themselves, doctor.
Well, that's why it's so important to always be a voice of warning, a voice of hope, a voice of restoration. You know, you can say all you want about oanted awfuls, but you have a solution. And it is, it's always been there. And if we'll just recognize it and return to it, I think healing is still possible. Now, ultimately and finally, whether we're willing to accept that becomes basically something of our own choice. But ultimately and finally, the Savior will return. And we've got a bumpy road between now and then, but we don't have to help it happen in terms of the mess that's being promoted by our own personal actions. Within our own hearts, let's turn them to God. Within our own families, within our own congregations and our communities. It's time. It's just time to be able to do that. And it's way past time, honestly.
Ladies and gentlemen, it starts with the power of one, turning to Almighty God and cleansing the inner vessel and repenting. It starts with one person, one father, one mother, a husband and a wife, then a couple. One becomes two, and then the family. Two becomes the few. And since the family is the fundamental unit of society, ladies and gentlemen, that's where real, real, meaningful change can happen. Once they have their family in order, then it's time to look outside and say, hey, what can I do good for those around me? And so that's why it's God, family, and country. And then, hey, applying the principles that made America great can do it again, but you got to be acquainted with the principles, and then you've got to insist upon them using the checks and balances that made America great in the first place. That's where it all starts, ladies and gentlemen. But make no mistake, it will not happen if there's not morality in the people. The first thing we've got to do is jettison dishonest money, jettison the abortion agenda, and then jettison these lies that are perpetuated through the media to the population, to where they're just deceived on so many topics, they don't have the information. That is the key to success, ladies and gentlemen. It's a road to hoe for sure. But I agree with Dr. Bradley. You know what? With God, all things are possible. And if we do our part, God has promised us. He will not renege on his promises. God is not the leaving kind, if you will. And so I'm convinced that it's up to the choices that we individually and as families make. And we don't even need a majority of the people, ladies and gentlemen. That we don't have a democracy. What we need is the tireless few that stand in the gap, who understand principle, who light brush fires of freedom across the country. It can be done, and it's being done by folks like Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio and others. This is being done and can be done. And you know what? I know it looks bleak, but I'm telling you, the Savior will have a refined, ready people when he returns, Doctor.
Sam, think about this for a second. In a dusty backwater conquered nation, a couple of thousand years ago, there was a man that brought a message. And he had some disciples that became apostles, men and women that started carrying the message. And it grew like wildfire, ultimately and finally. It started with one man. Now, again, he's a god. And then he had some pretty phenomenal capabilities. But the movement does not have to start in the royal halls, in Congress, in an executive branch. It doesn't have to start in the rich and famous. Of course, that's probably one of the least places you'd find it, because Satan has his minions and he rewards those that follow his plan royally with money, fame, power, you know, whatever they're seeking, lust, leader, licentiousness, whatever. But 2,000 years ago, one man walked a dusty path and brought a message, and it took the world by storm in a gentle revolution that was giving of hearts and minds. And that can happen again if we'll let it.
Ladies and gentlemen, hope springs eternal, if you will. We're not giving up. We're going to trust in God, but we're going to do our best and trust in him for the rest. And we're going to do all within our power to tell the tale of truth. It is the year of our Lord 2022. And ladies and gentlemen, truth telling is what we do on your radio. Spread the word. Share the love. It's free. LovingLiberty.net. Live and on demand radio at your fingertips. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott Bradley. And for Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.